Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chesson. With me, as always, is Akiva Lineker. Akiva, how are you today?
Oh, we're so close to the finish line. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, we are getting closer and closer. And yesterday we had the doubleheader with the Cardinals and the Eagles. And the next four teams in our power rankings are all actually in the AFC. But we thought we would jump ahead to the sixth-ranked Dallas Cowboys today, because we just did the Eagles, and I don't really think that it's fair that we have the Cowboys in 6 and Eagles at 11, because I think that, you know, they're pretty close neck and neck for the top of that division.
I mean, the Eagles really don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, look, you disagree, obviously. You have the Eagles down at 15. For whatever it's worth, and it's worth very little, but Sam Bradford had, you know, 3 touchdowns and 200 yards in like a quarter in, you know, this weekend's third preseason game.
Yeah, when Bradford plays 2 games, give me a call.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think it makes sense for us to do the Cowboys today because the Packers and Seahawks are clearly the class of the NFC. And I don't really – look, is it possible the Cowboys could make a Super Bowl? Sure. But I think that it's much more likely that, for example, the Ravens could make a Super Bowl. And, you know, the Ravens are a team who we actually have ranked below the Cowboys and we'll get to, you know, in a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, the AFC is a little more wide open just because you have the Patriots, Colts, Steelers, Ravens, Bengals – Broncos, you know, you have 6 teams right there that, I don't know, you know, you maybe want to not include the Bengals, but, you know, you have teams that are, you know, elite QBs other than, I guess, Cincy, and they're other than Luck, they've all won Super Bowls. So, you know, they're like in the NFC, it's, you really have to go through Green Bay and Seattle to do anything. Like you're high in Minnesota. Some people are high in Philly. You know, maybe someone's high on St. Louis or Arizona.
You got to stop saying that I'm high on Minnesota. Like, the whole point of my Vikings podcast is that I wasn't. I was lower than the national consensus. That's my point.
All right.
again, the next preview I see for the Vikings on any big site, ESPN, SI, Grantland, whatever, I mean, Bill Barnwell and Mays on their podcast, they said the Vikings were going 14-2, and that was a tad tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, the fact that I think the Vikings are, you know, 9-7 or 10-6, that doesn't make me high on them. So, you know, I'm not that
high. No more Vikings talk. We're done with the Vikings.
You keep bringing them up. You're making me feel like a homer. I'm really not, you know. As I said, I think they could be 8-7 going into Week 17 at Green Bay, which means that unless Green Bay has nothing to play for, that's an 8-8 season. So I'm lower on the Vikings than just about anybody else. I think I emailed you. My dad listened to our Vikings podcast. He said, oh, you're nuts. They're going to go 11-5. And my dad has seen some shit as a Vikings fan. You know, I didn't see 4 Super Bowl losses like he did. He went to the famous Hail Mary game. You know, Cowboys Vikings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
With Pearson in the end zone, and then somebody threw a bottle of beer at a ref. That game was so cold. My dad said he wore his mother's fur coat to the game, and when he went into the bathroom at one point, there were men, and you know. This is what he told me. I don't know if it's apocryphal. He claims he saw this with his bare eyes. I can't fathom how it's possible, but, you know, maybe we should ask.
Oh, it's going to be gross.
Yeah, it is going to be gross. Maybe we should ask, like, a reality TV star, you know, if they have any experience with these kinds of things. My dad said that people had their feet soaking in the urinal troughs because, like, the urine was warmer than, you know, like,
oh my God.
To, like, defrost their feet. And the reason it just doesn't make sense to me is because you're not on some deserted island. You're in downtown Bloomington, Minnesota. Get in your car and drive home. The game's on TV. Like, if it's that cold, you know?
No, nobody's going to leave in the middle. That's a real, you know, wuss move.
Akiva, you're
I've been to cold games, and I'll tell you the worst. I've never been to, you know, like, negative 20 degrees or anything, but when it's, like, the freezing rain. I went to one game, I think it was 1997. Jets beat the Ravens 1916.
What was the date?
I don't know. It was probably in November. You could check it up. I'm going to say late November, but I'm not sure. And what's it called? You know, there was, like, freezing rain. So you're sitting there soaking wet and shivering the whole time because it's really cold also.
But if your options were to put your feet in a urinal filled with hundreds of men's...
No, urine, I would never do that.
Or go home.
Now. It's a long trip. I mean, maybe not to a Vikings game, but, it, you know, almost nobody who's going to the Jet game lives very close to the stadium.
And that game against the Ravens, that went into overtime, so that was a long game also.
Yeah, John Hall kicked the game-winning field goal. It was a really long day.
Sunday, you know, November 2nd, 1997.
Yeah, I was right about November. It was really cold, and I was, like, shivering. And what you do is we sat in the first row of the second section, so we'd run up to, like, in between, like, if, you know, if there's a TV timeout or something, you'd like run up into the, you know, like the lobby, whatever it's called, you know, outside the action, you know, you'd run out of sort of your section, but, and then you come back. The problem is when you're soaking wet, it's like super annoying to even get up.
Yeah. Look, I told you, I went to that Monday Night Football Vikings Jets game a couple of years ago where the game was delayed an hour and a half because of a monsoon hurricane. And yeah, you couldn't sit the whole game because everything was so sopping wet. It was just miserable.
Yeah. Who won that game?
The Jets won that game. Brett Favre threw a pick six right at the end of the game, as I'm sure would not surprise anyone. But let me actually call you on something. So we were discussing, when we were discussing Brisses, and I talked about sort of the epic collapse. You mentioned the fact that our memories, things always tend to be a lot more exciting than they end up being in real life.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to say that according to Pro Football Reference, the day of the game in question for you, it was 60 degrees.
Oh, wow.
That's what it says. It says the humidity was 93%, but it says it was 60 degrees. But now I'm going to call my dad out because the Hail Mary game, it says that the wind chill was 17. It was 25. 8-degree wind, 17 wind chill. 17 is cold, but like it's not that cold. Like in Minnesota, it can get down to 20 or 30 below with wind chill in you know late December, early January.
Yeah, but now I'm wondering if that's a different game now, because it was it was definitely raining. It was definitely a Jets Vikings game where it was Jets Ravens game where it was pouring rain. So now I don't even know what to believe anymore. I didn't know you'd call me by checking out the weather of a game from 1997.
Yeah, and the Jets actually won that game to go to 6-3. I never remember the Jets being 6-3 in the 90s.
Jets were really good that year. They went, you know, they went
9-7. 9-7 is really good, but yeah.
They were 9-4. They lost their last three games.
8-5. They won in week 16. 31.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And the last game of the year, it was a crazy game in Detroit. Barry Sanders did nothing, but then the second half he went over 2,000 yards. That was the game. Mike Brown got paralyzed for the Lions.
You've seen a lot of guys get paralyzed.
Yeah, and the Jets had three different players throw interceptions in that game.
Ray Lucas, Bill O'Donnell, and who's the third?
Leon Johnson, maybe.
Wow, very impressive. By the way, Barry Sanders had 184 yards and a touchdown. So
yeah, but he did. He had like 4 yards in the first half, and then like he exploded in the second half.
But that's what Barry Sanders did. You know, he once had -1 yards for the game in a game against the Packers in the wild card round.
In the playoffs, it was like 13 for -1 or something. I remember that, but what's it called? The story goes that Parcells refused to win with O'Donnell, which is why he let Lucas and Leon Johnson try and throw the winning touchdown, and they both threw picks. Like, he hated Neil O'Donnell. He didn't want him to be the hero.
Why did he hate Neil O'Donnell?
I'm not sure. It's like a whole story, but, you know,
you might be wondering why we're talking about the 1997 New York Jets on a podcast that's ostensibly about the 2015 Dallas Cowboys. But then again, we talked about the 1992 New York Jets on a podcast ostensibly about this year's New York Giants. So when we're previewing a team from the NFC, Akiva first has to discuss a random team from the Jets in their mediocre 90s. But let's try and turn to the Cowboys now. And our guest to talk about the Cowboys today is Canadian reality TV star and diehard Dallas Cowboys fan Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. And I love the Neil O'Donnell references. This is great. 1994, that was 1 year after I was born. So blast from the past for me. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say you guys beat him in a Super Bowl after the 96 season, but I guess you don't even remember that.
No, I don't even remember that. So.
Wait, so why are you a Cowboys fan? Because you're from Vancouver area, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I'm on the west coast of Canada, so I'm about a two-hour drive north of Seattle. But I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan because as a kid, my dad was a huge Cowboys fan. When he was growing up, just because when he started watching football, Roger Staubach, and, you know, the Cowboys were really good back then, and then he's just been a fan ever since. And then when I was a little kid, I actually didn't really have a favorite football team. It took me a while, and I bounced between teams for like the longest time. And then ultimately, I just decided, you know what? I'll just keep it in the family. I'll just be a Cowboys fan. I don't know when that was, but yeah, here we are. It's there's been some tough years since I've been born. I mean, I kind of missed, you know, there was the 90s dynasty, but I'm kind of too young to remember any of that. So I remember the, you know, the Quincy Carter days. The dark ages of the Dallas Cowboys, if you will, but now they're looking pretty good. They're looking okay, so we'll see. It's good times. It's a good time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, I was going to say I lived in Canada for a year, and when it comes to Canadians who are serious NFL fans, you can never predict who they're going to be a fan of because they don't really have a native team. And if you hear a guy is a Cowboys fan, you're like, ugh, what a homer. But if you were born in 94, you can't really be accused of that because the Cowboys famously, you know, until 2009 when they won in the first round before, you know, the Vikings killed them 34-3 in the divisional round, they hadn't won a playoff game, I think, you know, since they won the Super Bowl when you were 1 year old. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing is that's a really good point that you bring up is, yeah, a lot of Canadians, it's random. I think that where I live in the Pacific Northwest, so there's a lot of bandwagon Seattle Seahawks fans who probably couldn't tell you who Matt Hasselbeck is, but they know they're the biggest Seattle Seahawks fan ever. It's interesting. There's a lot of Patriots fans I find up here too, just because the Pats have been good for the past, you know, 10 years. But we don't need to talk about the Pats. I hate the Patriots too. So it's good. I'm happy to be a Cowboys fan. It's good to kind of be a little bit unique and not have at least in Canada and the U.S. it's not really that unique. But it's fun.
So let's turn to the Cowboys now, and what a difference a year makes. A year ago at this time, Jason Garrett and the Cowboys were coming off their third straight 8-8 season. They had the year before the 32nd, the worst defense in the league, and people were talking literally about the possibility of the Cowboys having the worst defense in NFL history last year. I mean, people were really, really, really down on the Cowboys. And week one, at home, they got spanked by San Francisco, who at the time looked like, you know, they were still a Super Bowl contender. And then things totally turned around. The defense ended up being, you know, average. And, you know, you had guys like, you know, Rolando McClain, who had been out of the NFL, all of a sudden looking like stars. And the offense, you know, jumped to another level. Tony Romo had the best season of his career and frankly, statistically, was the best quarterback in the NFL last year. DeMarco Murray was the best running back in the NFL last year. The offensive line was the best offensive line in the NFL last year. And Dez Bryant was, if not, you know, one of the best two or three wide receivers in the league last year. And so behind just a really dynamic and impressive offense and pair that with a passable defense, and all of a sudden you go from 8-8 to 12-4. So now you're going into a season where nobody's talking about Jason Garrett losing his job, and instead people are thinking about the Super Bowl in the Dallas for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's funny that you bring up that point of San Fran, that first game, and it's crazy if you go rewind a year ago and you think about that first game and at the outlook of the San Francisco 49ers and the outlook of the Dallas Cowboys a year ago, and how it's crazy how things have changed. Now they've almost flip-flopped, really. San Francisco, I mean, they had all those people retire, and their offense and defense, I mean, are have tons of question marks, and now it's the Cowboys who are looking like a Super Bowl contender. But it's crazy. I think that you know, the defense did an excellent job last season, and I think based on who they had, and I mean, there's so many, I mean, you mentioned Rolando McClain, guys like that really stepped up and made a difference for the team. But I think what really helped was that offense and just that offensive line and controlling the ball. And I think that on the strength of that running game, keeping the time of possession so high each game on their end, keeping the ball out of their opponent's hands, I think it kind of masked a little bit how weak that defense really is. I think that the team, I don't know if their defense is going to be able to live up to the expectations after how well it did last season. They added a few pieces, which will help, but I think that they're lucky that things didn't go worse for them defensively last year. And if it wasn't for that offense, I think it would have been a different story for sure.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, this is something we talked about a little bit in our quarterbacks ranking podcast, but I was happy for Tony Romo last year because, and as people know, I'm a guy, I hate when people attribute team success to quarterbacks, and people have judged Tony Romo negatively for that reason. As I pointed out to Akiva, since Tony Romo came into the league in 2006, he's number one in the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks. He's number one in the NFL in game-winning drives, ahead of Peyton Manning, ahead of Tom Brady, ahead of everybody. They've never had a losing season with him as their quarterback. Of course, they went 8-8 3 years in a row, but they've never been below that. They did go 6-10 one year, but he missed, you know, that was the year that John Kitna played most of the season. And,
yeah.
And so Tony Romo, you know, now he's getting up there in age, but he really has been a good quarterback. And, you know, I think, frankly, that he's borderline a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it's frustrated me. So I was glad to see him have some success last year. And if not for, you know, just an abysmal call, well, maybe a technically correct call, but a bad rule, let's say, in the playoffs, they might have beaten Green Bay, and who knows, you know, they might have ended up in the Super Bowl.
You never know. And you think about that Seattle game and how they barely managed to beat Green Bay in that game and how that was just such a wonky game. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, watching that, it just killed me because I figured, oh my gosh, like, see, Dallas had a really good shot at making it to the Super Bowl. Mind you, they would have had to play New England. Could have been different. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, Romo is very, he's been criminally underrated in his career. And I think the issue is that, and I mean, the fourth quarter comeback stat always surprises people, but it's the truth. I just think that the issue with Romo is just so many times, for whatever reason, in prime time, because the Cowboys are always playing in prime time, he just has managed to make an error that happens to cost the team for whatever reason. But again, it's a team game. There's 52 guys on the roster. It doesn't come down to just the quarterback. And if he doesn't have the supporting cast around him, then it's tough. It's hard for a quarterback to just carry a team on his back and just take them all the way. So I think that we really got to see last year with the improvements on the offensive line, with the surrounding weapons, how strong of a quarterback Tony Romo really is. And I think that now that he has this supporting cast, the expectations are warranted. And I think that, you know, it's Super Bowl or bust for this team. And if they don't make a deep run, I think that fans are going to be disappointed, and Romo's going to have to step up. So hopefully he can do that. And I think he's up to the task. I think he's an excellent NFL quarterback and should be a fun season to watch.
So you say Super Bowl or bust, but obviously, you know, other than Romo, you know, the first guy we have to talk about is, you know, DeMarco Murray's in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So, you know, now you have this, you know, three or four or five-headed monster of, you know, Joseph Randle and Darren McFadden, you know, Lance Dunbar. So do you think the offensive line is so good that does part of you think that Murray was a little bit of a product of the system, or do you think they're in big trouble at running back this year?
Yeah, I think anybody who says that DeMarco Murray is a product of the system, I think that you're wrong. I think if you just watch DeMarco Murray play, I think he's a phenomenal NFL running back. I think he's one of the best in the game today. He's very well-rounded. He runs hard. And I think that they're really going to miss him this season. However, I do think that, yeah, the three-headed monster, whatever it's going to be with the Cowboys rolling with Joseph Randle, Darren McFadden, Lance Dunbar, I think that the offensive line is good enough to make a replacement-level player look good or solid. So I think that, you know, the running, that is definitely the biggest question mark going into the season is the running back position. If those three, or whoever manages to emerge as the lead back in somehow, even if they can put up 75% of what Murray put up last year, that would be phenomenal. I'm not even quite sure if that's going to happen, but I do think that having that type of offensive line, and, you know, them adding a guy like Lael Collins who went undrafted really, really helps them out. And I think that, you know, on the strength, I think the passing game too last season, they didn't really necessarily need to rely on it too much. I mean, if you look at it, passing, they were 16th in passing yards per game. They only had 236 yards per game through the air. I expect that to go up this season. And I think that with the guys that they have, in Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, and Cole Beasley, along with Jason Witten, I think those weapons are sufficient enough for Tony Romo to really make the most of them. So they're probably going to have to scale it back on in terms of running the ball, but I think that they can make up more than make up for that in terms of passing. I just think that the defense is going to be the biggest issue this season, just because I'm a little, with Orlando Scandrick getting injured, I'm a little bit nervous about that secondary. But I think they can do well. I think they can definitely get to where they were last season and definitely make the playoffs and hopefully make the NFC Championship game.
And you know what? If the offensive line was good last year, now it might be even better. The Cowboys took an interesting strategy this offseason, which was anybody who was sort of a question mark off the field, they try to capitalize and see if they could get value there. Greg Hardy, obviously, and Randy Gregory we'll get to on the defense. But Lael Collins, who was basically going to be a first-round draft pick, and then 2 days before the draft, there was crazy stories swirling about maybe he was involved with the murder of a woman who he had possibly impregnated, and nobody really knew what the story was. His agents tried to get him pulled out of the draft. It was too late, and the Cowboys ended up getting him for nothing, and it turned out that he was not implicated in that, and so he plugs, you know, yet another hole on the offensive line. And well, you know, again, we'll get to the defense, and at a certain point, Bill Simmons likes to say you can have one knucklehead in the locker room, but not two. The Cowboys certainly have a lot more than that. They have the aforementioned McClain, who I think is suspended to start the season.
Yes.
And they have Des Bryant, who, you know, can get into fights during the preseason and otherwise. But, you know, this offense, even if it's patchwork at running back, it just seems like they're going to be really, really good. And so, as you said, maybe the defense is the only real concern.
Yeah, I think that there's not much to worry about with the offense, and I think that, yeah, it's the addition of Lael Collins. I mean, that's ridiculous. The fact that they managed to get him, I mean, they've got horseshoes. Jerry Jones has horseshoes up his butt. I mean, it's crazy that they just managed to he goes undrafted, and then they managed to convince him to sign with them. I think that's incredible. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Bill Simmons as well, and I think that, yeah, having too many knuckleheads in the locker room, I don't know. You're definitely playing with fire. I mean, yeah, especially, you know, getting guys like Greg Hardy and Randy Gregory. You already have a head case in Des Bryant, who has, I mean, well, I'll admit he seems to have improved, but again, we see him getting into fights with cornerbacks who don't even end up making the St. Louis Rams roster. So it's, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, America's team is going to have so many people following them this year, and I'm sure there are going to be a ton of crazy storylines with everything that's going to be happening. But, yeah, the offense, I think that that's definitely something that is not my concern. I think they'll definitely, bring it this year. I think it's just the defense that is definitely, going to be the potential issue.
Let me ask you a question, because we talked about this a bit on the Vikings podcast with Adrian Peterson. I said how it's really difficult to cheer for him because, you know, knowing what he did. And to be clear, some of the quote-unquote knuckleheads on the Cowboys, if a guy's, like, smoking weed, for example, nobody really cares. But what Greg Hardy did is pretty despicable. And, you know, as a fan, are you sort of conflicted about having to root for some of these guys, or are you just trying to focus on what they do, you know, between the white lines?
Yeah, it's hard, you know. I mean, yeah, the Peterson thing, that's one thing, I think. But I mean, the Greg Hardy thing, I think that's just, I mean, I think Peterson is just, he's just ignorant, and he just didn't really, I mean, it's not an excuse, but I think that's kind of just how he was raised. I think Greg Hardy, you can't excuse that. I mean, that is just like, just so awful. And I mean, we don't have to get into it, but I mean, that's a different podcast for a different day. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I absolutely, and I'm glad that, you know, he's suspended, although it did get reduced. But you know what? I think once the games come on, I mean, he's a Cowboy, so I mean, I'm gonna have to root for him, unfortunately. Which, I mean, it's gonna be tough, but at the same time, if he gets injured or something happens to him, I'm not gonna cry about it too much, because I know everything that he did, and I mean, yeah, it's definitely not excusable.
Akiva, did you read Boys Will Be Boys by Jeff Pearlman?
Oh, the Cowboys book? No, I didn't read it.
I don't know, Jordan, did you read that?
I have, actually, yeah, funny. I was reading that, I was on Big Brother I left in March, and right before I left, I was actually reading it. I didn't end up finishing it, but a great book by Jeff Pearlman. Outstanding.
Yeah,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So you were on Big Brother.
Yes.
And you're a big sports fan outside of football, or mostly just football?
Yeah, like I'm a huge sports fan. NFL and the National Hockey League, being that I'm Canadian, are my two favorite sports. But yeah, I follow basketball and Major League Baseball as well. So yeah, it was.
So was that hard? Like, you're in the how long were you in the house for?
Yeah, I was in the house for 35 days, and then I got voted out, and then I had to go to this jury house where you're sequestered from society for another 35 days. So, and then you get sequestered before the show begins as well. So I was gone for about, probably about 11 weeks. So
during the NHL playoffs, right? If it was starting in March.
Yeah. So I missed the entire NHL playoffs pretty much. I got back in time, and NBA playoffs I missed as well. So I got back, just in time, for the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals as well. And, you know, it was crazy. It was like being in a coma and then waking up and then finding out all this crazy information and all this stuff I missed. And, I mean, like, yeah, the Lael Collins and Randy Gregory and Greg Hardy, all that kind of stuff. I missed all that stuff. Like, as soon as I got my phone back, I phoned my dad and he filled me in on all that stuff. And I was stunned. And DeMarco Murray going to the Eagles, I had no idea about anything like that. So it took me a good month and a half, 2 months to kind of catch up on everything. And there's still things. I mean, it's almost September.
You have like a hole in your life.
Yeah, I do.
So while you're on the show, you have no access to any information at all?
None. Yeah. So
you can't even ask like a cameraman, like, "Hey, who won in the first round?"
There are no cameramen.
Well, yeah.
So, I guess.
Yeah, so in Big Brother, yeah, you're in there, and it's just producers, but then there's, like, cameras. When you go to the jury house every week, they come to film a little jury segment, and that was when cameramen would come, and some producers were there, and I would always try and fish for information, and I'd be like – and I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan, so I'd always say, "Oh, are the Habs still in the playoffs? Are they still alive?" And the camera guys would always just shake their head, and they couldn't tell me anything. So it was just so frustrating.
I mean, there's really no harm in, like – you know,
I know, right? Like, how
imagine like being on Survivor or something. I would be like, I just need to know what the Mets did last night.
Yeah,
it has
exactly,
no bearing
right?
on this game.
It has no bearing on the actual game itself. Yeah. And I mean, it's funny. I did this interview. So you guys have Entertainment Tonight in the States. We have Entertainment Tonight Canada. And I was on that show and I was talking to the host and like right as we were wrapping up, he also found out that I couldn't know anything about the playoffs. And then he was like begging my producer to just tell me because he felt bad for me. But, it was the hardest thing, not knowing what was going on, not knowing what happened in NFL free agency, not knowing what happened in the draft. I mean, it was crazy. But yeah, I had this hole in my life, this coma I went in, and then I just woke up after, and I had to scramble to try and figure everything out.
And why are you a Habs fan in Vancouver?
My dad was a big Montreal Canadiens fan growing up. They were really good when he was a kid, and so that was why he became a fan. And then when I was born, I think that was again one of those things that just kind of. The Habs were always on in my house, and I just became a Habs fan. So I have my sports teams are all over the place. I live in Vancouver. I don't cheer for any Vancouver teams. I have teams on the West Coast, teams on the East Coast. It's a little bit unorthodox, but that's the problem of being Canadian. You don't really have a team that's for each league in your hometown.
Are the Habs the most hated team for most Canadians who aren't, you know, from Quebec or?
Ooh, yeah, they're probably up there. I mean, them and the Toronto Maple Leafs are up there. I think the difference.
They've been so bad for so long.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been so bad for so long. Believe it or not, the Vancouver Canucks were really hated for a while. Just because they were really hated
around the league. Like they're hated in America.
Yeah. Exactly. The Canucks are just hated around the league, so they're hated in Canada as well. But yeah, I would definitely say if you were to ask. I mean, it's the Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs, so they're very polarizing teams. I mean, you either love them or you hate them. It's very rare that you would find a Canadian or anybody else who would really say, I'm whatever, I'm indifferent. It's kind of, you know, it's a love-hate sort of thing.
All right, so Jordan, let's jump to the roster game now before we get to the defense. You throw out a number between 1 and 100, and Akiva is going to randomly ask you a question about some player who's in training camp with the Cowboys.
Let's go 88.
Tell me what you know about Lucky Whitehead. That's good.
That's a great name.
Lucky Whitehead.
It is a great.
Nobody gets lucky if they have a Whitehead. Like,
yeah. You know. Lucky Whitehead. Wow, you're making me really dig here, Akiva. Okay, Lucky Whitehead. So he's a wide receiver. I mean, he's going to be returning punts potentially on this team. I don't really know if he's going to make too much of an impact this season.
Is he going to make the team?
I don't know. I think if he's going to make the team, it would be as a return specialist, although, you know, there's other guys who can, fill in for that role. So, I mean, there's other guys that can do that. So I don't know if he's quite going to make the team right now. I think he's in an okay spot. He survived cuts today. I would not be too shocked if he ultimately didn't make the final. Roster, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be through. It's the return game. I think is his best. I mean, that's how he's going to make it. He's listed as a wide receiver, but I think realistically, being a special teamer is how he's going to make an impact. If anything, this season.
Oh, all right. So we know we got a lot about Lucky Whitehead. All right, give me another number, please.
69.
Okay. Tell me about Byron Jones.
Ooh, Byron Jones. Okay, so Byron Jones, he was the first-round pick for the Cowboys this year. I believe he set the record for the broad jump at the combine. So there was a lot of so he set the world record for the broad jump. So he did it. So let's see, he leaped 12 feet 3 inches. So that's pretty impressive. I think that he was at the combine. He was a darling of the draft Knicks out there. He's very versatile. He played at UConn. He can play. He's a defensive back, but he can line up at corner. He can line up at safety. The Cowboys have kind of been using him at both at different times throughout the preseason. So once I feel like with Skandrick going down, they're probably going to lean towards using him at cornerback, but at the same time, I could see him moving to safety. I saw an interview with him today, and even he said he's not quite sure what Dallas's plans are for him. But I think that in order for the Cowboys defense to have success this year, Byron Jones is going to have to be an integral part of that secondary.
It's a big jump from UConn to the Cowboys.
A huge jump from UConn. And he's a young kid. I mean, he's going to be turning 23 next month. So, I mean, he's very young. Just because you have the world record for the broad jump does not necessarily mean you're going to ultimately morph into this fantastic defensive back in the NFL. So, we'll see what happens. I hope that, their defensive hopes really depend on, I think, on him doing well this season. If he doesn't really, if he's kind of like a Mo Claiborne and is a bit of a bust, then I'm going to be a little bit concerned about that secondary.
Yeah, let's do one more number.
Okay. Let's go number 9.
Okay, number 9. Tell me about DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Okay, so DeMarcus Lawrence was he's a defensive lineman. He was their second round pick last year. And the Cowboys traded up to select him in the draft, and he missed, like the first maybe 2 months of the season last year. So he came in towards the end of last year. He looked pretty good. I think that he's going to do well on the defensive line for them. DeMarcus is his name, so people are naturally going to make the DeMarcus Ware comparisons to him. He's not going to be DeMarcus Ware probably ever, but I think that he definitely has potential to be a very solid defensive end for that team. And I think that along with the additions that they made this year with Randy Gregory and Greg Hardy, I think that Lawrence can have a really good season because they'll be able to keep him fresh. And I do think that he's going to be a good part of this defense. I mean, he's looked good in the preseason, so I'm excited to see what he can do this year.
All right, so let's talk about the defense for a second before we get to the schedule. We talked a lot about, you just mentioned Maurice Claiborne and Skandrick's injured, and obviously the secondary is a big concern. And there's really not Skandrick is a pretty good player, but now that he's gone, there's really not a standout player in the whole secondary. But is that your concern? Is it the front seven, with Hardy and McClain maybe not being so reliable? Like, what's the real key for the defense this year?
Yeah, I think it's the secondary. And I think that last year, the secondary, it wasn't even really that great to begin with. I mean, in terms of passing yards per game, the Cowboys finished 26th in yards allowed, so with 251. So, that was with Skandrick in the lineup. So now that he's not there, that doesn't really bode too well for them. I mean, there's nobody really on that secondary that stands out to me. I mean, Brandon Carr, he signed that huge contract a few years back. He's really disappointed. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to be able to step up. Maurice Claiborne, again, I mentioned him. He's been a bust since they drafted him. Barry Church, J.J. Wilcox, they're okay in terms of safeties, but I think that Byron Jones, I think in terms of the secondary, Cowboys fans just have to hope that he comes through for them and he does really well this season. I think that in terms of the front seven, I don't think they have too much to be concerned about. That D-line's very solid. I mean, yes, you're losing Rolando McClain to suspension. Yes, you're losing Greg Hardy to suspension, but at the same time, you have DeMarcus Lawrence, Jeremy Mincy, Randy Gregory. So I think those guys will be good. And in terms of linebackers, I mean, Anthony Hitchens played really well last season, and Sean Lee's back, and he's a guy who I love. I think all Cowboys fans love Sean Lee. He's one of the biggest leaders on that team. I just think the only issue with him is the health. So if he can somehow manage to stay healthy, I think he is a huge boost to that linebacking core from a year ago. I think the biggest thing with the team is going to be injuries this season. If they can manage to stay healthy and they get their suspended guys back come playoff time, I think they're going to be respectable. I think they're going to be good? No, not really. But I think that the offense should be able to make up for the mediocre defense. But I think the defense is really what's going to hold them back this season from breaking away from the rest of the pack in terms of being one of the elite teams in the NFL. If they wanted to be, I think if their defense was a lot stronger, if it was a stronger defense, I think we could definitely put Dallas in the conversation for one of the top five teams in the NFL. But because of that D, I'm not ready to quite put them there yet.
Jordan, before we get to the schedule, you live in Canada. You know, how does someone like you, logistically, how do you watch games?
So in Canada, how it works actually is, we get all of the main, network stations that you guys have. So I get Fox, CBS, NBC. I don't get ESPN, but we have like the Canadian version of that. So most of the games, are aired. All the games in prime time, I get those. And then because I live near Seattle, I get pretty much every Seahawks game and then a few random games sprinkled in here and there. But for me, what I like to do is we actually have NFL Sunday Ticket up here. So I like to get that every year just so that way I can watch the Cowboys and then I can get Red Zone and follow my fantasy teams and all that kind of stuff. So I don't really have too much trouble following it in Canada, and it's actually the NFL is pretty accessible up here, which is nice.
Yeah, it's actually easier. You know, Greg Easterbrook used to rant about this, that only in America, now of course anyone can get Sunday Ticket, but it used to be that you had to have DirecTV, and Greg Easterbrook used to rant about the fact that in America, where our tax dollars, you know, subsidize the league, which has an antitrust exemption, and of course the stadiums, which are subsidized by local taxpayers, and yet we can't see games unless we have DirecTV, which millions of Americans can't because, for example, like me, they live in an apartment building. But in Canada or anywhere outside the United States, anybody could get access to it. And so,
yeah,
With the English Premiership, you can watch every game now in the United States, but you can't in England.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Really? Wow, yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. But yeah, I always found that to be, I mean, I always saw the DirecTV commercials because I get American commercials, and I always just wondered, like, why? Because, yeah, here, every single cable provider, you can get NFL Sunday tickets. So that never really made sense to me. But I'm glad that anybody can get it now in the States because, yeah, that makes no sense. I mean, why? I don't understand why. I guess DirecTV had some exclusive deal with them, but I'm glad it's over.
All right, so now let's jump to the schedule, and, you know, hopefully you'll be watching those games one way or another.
Yes.
You start, as you seem to do every year, on Sunday Night Football against the Giants. And let me ask you, actually, Akiva and I discussed in another podcast that the NFC East is such an interesting division because all four teams are nationally hated by most fans, I think. Who do you hate the most of your three division rivals?
That is so hard. I mean, it really just depends on the year. I hate all three of them equally, but I guess I would have to say the Giants just because, I mean, the last couple of years they haven't really been as threatening, but I just my worst memories are of the Giants beating the Cowboys in prime time, and it's just been so frustrating to watch. But I hated Washington too when RG3 came to the league, but now that with that whole debacle, I mean, they're not really a threat anymore. So right now this season, though, it'll probably be the Eagles just because of DeMarco Murray going there, and that's going to intensify the rivalry. I think the Eagles are probably going to be pretty good this season, and it's going to be between the Cowboys and the Eagles as to who's going to win that division. So, I mean, it kind of varies year to year, but if you were just to ask me any given year, I'd definitely say the New York Giants.
Would you boo DeMarco Murray if you were at that game against the Eagles in November?
No, I wouldn't. I love DeMarco Murray. He's great. I mean, DeMarco Murray is one of those rare guys who I feel like is just, because there's a lot of guys in the NFL who are great players, but then off the field, I mean, they're just not really the greatest guys, and they don't have the greatest of reputations. Now, there have been some rumors with DeMarco Murray and opposing players' wives and stuff like that, but in terms of like the interviews and stuff I've seen with DeMarco Murray, he just seems like a really humble, down-to-earth guy. So, and the Cowboys would have, I don't know what they would have done without him last year. So no, I would not boo Murray.
What have you been to the new Jerry World Stadium?
No, that is it's on my bucket list to go to Jerry World. I've actually, believe it or not, never been to an NFL game. So that is, yeah, that's the struggle.
See, you could drive down 2 hours to Seattle, right?
Seattle, yeah, I could. But the problem with Seattle is that you have to deal with the 12th man there, and they just scream and yell at everything. And I hate Seattle, and I really despise the Seahawks, and they're really good. So if I was going to go to a Seattle game, I would want to go to a game in which I know they would lose. But the last few years, they've just been so good. So and the tickets are so expensive. It's crazy. So because Seahawks fans, they're just, I mean, it's Seahawks mania in up here in the Pacific Northwest. So, yeah, I'm hoping – I probably won't go to a Seahawks game anytime soon, but I'm hoping within the next couple of years I can get down to Jerry World and see a game.
And you have even more reason to hate Seattle, because I have a working theory that if Tony Romo doesn't flub that extra point snap in that original playoff game against Seattle, the way he's perceived nationally is totally different.
Completely different.
I think that just set a narrative, and then people sort of find biases to confirm that. But all right, so let's get to the schedule. Actually, one more question. So, you know, since they opened Jerry World 5 years ago, they have the same record at home as on the road, which, of course, teams are usually much better at home than in the road in the NFL. Do you think that's just sort of a coincidence, or 5 years is a relatively small sample size, or do you think it's a consequence of the stadium for one reason or another?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know exactly what it is. I think that it's probably just because 5 years is a really small sample size. And if you look at the Cowboys in the past 5 years, they've kind of just been 8-8, 500 for most of it. So I think that would kind of explain why. But yeah, it is something to watch for sure. I mean, I guess, you know, there's a lot of pressure playing in at home if you are a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, it's America's team, and so I guess maybe that has something to do with it, but I would guess that it probably just has to do with the lack of sample size.
All right, so week one at home, Sunday Night Football against the Giants. Are you expecting the Cowboys to win or lose?
I like Dallas to win that game. I'm a little nervous, but I mean, you know, that Giants offensive line is just so weak. And I think that, I mean, I don't know if Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be able to play with the whole fireworks incident in his hand. Although there's been talk that he might be there in time. So I don't know, but I do like Dallas to win that game. I think that, as long as there aren't any major injuries between now and then, I think they got that one locked up.
All right, and then the next week, yet again, the whole country's watching as it's the Salt Lake game on Fox. You travel to Philadelphia to face your other big rival at the top of the NFC East this year.
The Eagles, yes. That's going to be a tough one, you know. It's in Philadelphia. I got a bad feeling. I really do. I think that, you know, Chip Kelly and what he's doing there it's amazing, and I'm a believer of his. So I'm going to say that the Dallas Cowboys lose that game to Philadelphia.
All right, so 1-1, and then you come back home. And sorry, I'm just going to bring this up again, but, you know, I look at the schedule on ESPN, and the last column is called Tickets, and it has a link to StubHub to show tickets available. And the Cowboys, and they, you know, they're a very popular team, of course, and they're a good team. They have more tickets available and cheaper tickets available than any team I've seen yet this year. They have games in week 3 at home against Atlanta for $25, but even that Sunday night opener against the Giants, there's tickets available for $40. The Sunday nighter against the Eagles, there's tickets for $42.
I think the really bad tickets in the Cowboys Stadium are like standing room only.
But that's crazy though. Like, they have $29 tickets in December. You know, they have even.
I'm telling you, but they're not real seats. Like, I think that's part of it. Is that they're really like standing room, not real seats. That's why they're so cheap.
Well, yeah, but you don't see that in any other. All right, so.
Well, nobody else has standing room. It's kind of a ridiculous thing to, like, not, to, you know, you come into the stadium, but you're not allowed to sit down.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I know the Minnesota Wild saw that. I don't know, you know, what other teams do in other sports. But, all right.
By the way, 11 of the Cowboys' first 14 games are national games. So even, you know, even if you don't have the package, you're going to
be okay.
Which is really annoying.
Games are the two games in Florida, Tampa and Miami, in November, and this game hosting Atlanta. Literally every other game. They have 5 night games, the Thanksgiving game, and the national games against the Patriots, Giants, Seahawks, Eagles, and Packers.
Oh my good. Well, yeah, wow, yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule now. That's crazy. I mean, it makes sense though. I think that now, because Dallas is they're going to be a contending team this season. They are America's team. So, I can understand why whoever designs the schedule would want to set up all those primetime games. But yeah, maybe I'm having second thoughts. Maybe I don't really need Sunday ticket this season.
Yeah, I mean, they do have, you know, a lot of those 4 p.m. games. There's other teams playing. Like, when they play the Patriots, there's a Broncos game going on at the same time. But, yeah, but you guys will certainly be the preferred game. And, you know, it's really annoying when Troy Aikman calls Cowboys games. But we're going to get a lot of that. But probably not in week 3 at home against Atlanta. So what happens in that game?
Atlanta. I like their chances against Atlanta. I think that they can definitely get a win there. That's funny, the Troy Aikman point that you bring that up, because I always love when Troy Aikman does Cowboys games.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, I guess, and I live in a house where, you know, it's only Cowboys fans, so now I guess it's understandable why you would hate that.
Yeah, but I've always thought that he has sort of a slight little bias against Tony Romo, and again, maybe that's because he's, you know, trying to, you know, protect his legacy as a Cowboys quarterback, but Tony Romo's a much better quarterback than Troy Aikman ever was. Troy Aikman just happened to play with an incredible team.
I mean, that would be an interesting – that's another podcast for another time. That would be an interesting debate.
Troy Aikman's on my list of two or three most overrated players in NFL history. I think he was an average player.
Wait, can I guess your three? Isn't your three Aikman, Joe Namath, Eli Manning?
No, not Eli. Eli's better. Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw's
basically,
overrated.
If you were a quarterback on a team that was really, really good, you're just automatically Troy Aikman never had, I think, 26 touchdowns in a season, never had 4,000 yards in a season. He played behind basically five Hall of Famers on the offensive line and one of the best two or three running backs in the history of the game, and Michael Irvin, who was a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and Hall of Famers up and down the defense, Hall of Fame coach. He was a game manager. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, but he at no point in his career was he one of the best five quarterbacks in
football. So the Cowboys win all three Super Bowls with Romo?
Oh, well, not even close. They probably went four. They probably beat the 49ers in the 94 playoffs, or, you know.
Wow.
Easily.
Interesting. I think, you know, you bring up those stats. I think that, you know, obviously the NFL has changed, but with the passing and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, but
think
his that numbers relative to his era weren't that good.
Yeah. I mean, I see the point. I mean, I personally never really, I can't lie to you. I'm too young to remember watching Aikman play. But that would be really interesting to see if you could put Romo on that team back, you know, on that dynasty back in the day and see how well they do.
Yeah, for his career, he had 165 touchdowns, 141 picks, which is, you know, almost a 1-to-1 ratio. And again, he had one season in his career where he had more than 19 touchdowns. His career high in yards was 3,400. And, you know, he only had greater than a 65% completion rating once. And, you know, it was a different era, but Steve Young and Brett Favre and a host of other quarterbacks were putting up numbers that far, far outpaced those. But let's not get down one of my digressions too far. You're 2-1, and you have another Sunday night football game, this one at New Orleans.
Yeah, I like their chances against New Orleans. I think that that's an offense that is kind of on the downswing, in my opinion. I think that, they've upgraded the offensive line, but, you know, there's no more Jimmy Graham there. I think that that defense isn't too great. I mean, and Dallas really embarrassed New Orleans last year. I don't know what if that was a Thursday game or what it was, but it was in prime time. Maybe it was a Sunday night game as well. But I do like their chances against New Orleans there.
All right, so now you're 3-1, and if Tom Brady's suspension does go through it, we'll probably find out in a couple of days. Then this Week 5 game, I said there's a Broncos game at the same time, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say this will be the highest-rated regular season game of the season. If it's Tom Brady's debut at home in Dallas, but, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to be pissed. They're going to be looking to run up the score. The Cowboys are coming in at 3-1, all confident and cocky. So you tell us what happens in that game.
That's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm really excited, but I don't think that – I mean – I just think that the whole Brady thing is just going to get thrown out the window. I think Brady's going to be – it's not going to be the full four games. I don't think that will be Brady's first game. I could be wrong. We'll find out probably within 48 hours or so. But regardless, Brady's going to be back for this game. I mean, every single time the Cowboys, they just have no luck against the Patriots. New England is such a solid team coming off a Super Bowl win. I like New England's chances in this game.
All right, so – 3-2 going into the bye, but it's a tough schedule you guys have early.
Yes.
So then you guys go to the Giants.
To the Giants. It's going to be tough. I think they're going to pull another win against the Giants.
Oh,
I like their chances.
Sweep the Giants.
Sweep the Giants. So
you guys actually play the Giants and the Eagles twice a month before you even see the Redskins.
That's crazy.
Who cares about Washington?
So I don't know. What do you think about the schedule? To me, other than, you know, the first place aspect, which means you play Seattle and Green Bay, it seems like a pretty easy schedule.
Well, not so far.
Which has one team.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It really lightens up, though.
Yeah, it really lightens up towards the end. I mean, you look at the last few weeks, and it's fantastic. So I think, considering how well they did last season, yeah, I think it's a very favorable schedule. And if they can make it to, you know, if they can make it to that Patriots game 3-1 and afterwards they're only 3-2, I think Cowboys fans should be really happy because going forward, there aren't too many more games where, they're in hot water, really.
Yeah, but your toughest games and against some of these, you know, really good offenses, even the teams that aren't so good like Atlanta and New Orleans still have really good offenses and you're going to be without Hardy and McClain in those games.
Yeah, that is true. So, I mean, we'll see. There are going to be some shootouts. It'll be fun. But you know, I just think that this I like their chances against Atlanta and New Orleans. But hey, we'll see. You never know. It's they could get off to a rough start, and there might be mass hysteria in Dallas after the first month of the season or so.
Akiva, did our Giants fan, I don't remember, did he predict the Cowboys to sweep the Giants this year?
No, he predicted the Giants to sweep the Cowboys.
Ah, yes, that's correct.
Of course, of course. That's what happens when you get, you know, a Giants fan doing a Giants show and a Cowboys fan doing a Cowboys show.
Yep.
Yeah, so then you guys have a two-game home stretch. You host the Seahawks and then you host the Eagles on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, so I think Seattle's going to beat Dallas. I think they got incredibly lucky last year that they managed to beat them. I think that really DeMarco Murray just put the team on his back in that game. They just controlled the ball so much, and I think they're going to struggle to do that this time around against Seattle. So give me the Seahawks in that first of those home games. The second one against Philadelphia, that's a bit of a tough one, but I am also going to say, again, I think the Eagles are going to have the Cowboys number this season for whatever reason.
So the Eagles sweep the Cowboys.
Cowboys sweep the Giants, Eagles sweep the Cowboys.
And just, you know, what do you think happens between the Eagles and the Giants then?
I think the Eagles are going to sweep the Giants, of course.
Oh, so you're high on the Eagles this year.
I'm high on the Eagles this year. I like their chances. I think that with Sam Bradford in that offense, I think that their defense. I mean, they added, you know, Kiko Alonso, and they got a solid defense. So I think they're going to be. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say solid, but I think that it'll get the job done. And I just for whatever reason, I'm just in love with Chip Kelly. So I think he's got a little bit of a Jimmy Johnson vibe going on with him. So I think they're going to be really good this year. They're going to be tough to beat.
Then you guys have a Florida stretch where you go to Tampa and Miami.
Yeah, I like their chances in both those games. I mean, the Bucs are going to be better this year, I think, especially with the addition of Jameis Winston. They got a quarterback finally. But, I mean, again, common theme with a lot of these teams they're playing. Offensive line there is really weak. And just defensively, I'm not really too scared of the Bucs. So I like their chances against Tampa Bay. Miami's going to be a bit of a tough one. I think Miami has a good shot to – they could potentially win the AFC East this season. I think that their offense is – the best it's been in years. They added Ndamukong Suh this offseason. So I think that's going to be a tough one in Miami. But, God, man, that's hard. You know, it's at Miami, so they're on the road. So, you know what? Give me the Dolphins. I think the Miami's going to win that one.
Wow. And then you have the Thanksgiving game hosting the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers game, I'm not too concerned at all. I think they got that one, no problem. Carolina, I think, is just – I mean, at times last year, they were just so atrocious. I mean, so I'm not too worried about them playing against the Panthers. I think they'll take that one pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cam Newton gets, like, this national profile, but they're really maybe the most boring team to watch in the league.
Oh, my gosh, they are so boring to watch, and especially now. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin's out for the season. You look at who their receivers are. I mean, they have Corey, don't call me Philly Brown, and then, you know, Devin Funchess, who's already injured, and, you know, Jonathan Stewart is an injury waiting to happen, and then defensively, I mean, even then, I mean, they don't have Greg Hardy anymore. They've, you know, they got Luke Kuechly, but beyond that, what do they really – they don't have a ton that they're boasting there. So,
but
yeah.
You know what the annoying thing is as a Cowboys fan, that because of the NFL stupid system of giving a home game automatically to the division winner, you're going to, you know, assuming that you get swept by the Eagles and you're still making the playoffs, it's likely as a wild card, which means if you're the 5 seed, you have to go on the road in the first round and play Carolina or one of these crappy teams, New Orleans or Atlanta.
Exactly. But you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't mind playing although it's probably not going to be Carolina this year. But yeah, I think that's definitely annoying, but that's just the NFL and how it works, I guess. So I can't really complain if that happens.
Then you guys go to Washington on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I like their chances. I mean, Washington's just a mess.
But they beat you last year, right?
That is true. That was in Dallas. And,
On
Monday night with Colt McCoy. So you never know. I mean, it could happen. But right now, as we're sitting here, you know, late August, early September, I don't see Washington beating them. I mean, especially if Kirk Cousins or whoever their quarterback ultimately ends up being, if there's all this RG3 news. So, I think they can beat the Redskins pretty easily.
And you guys have probably the two coldest, you know, outdoor stadium games in the league, starting with at Green Bay.
At Green Bay, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I do not like
that. That was Romo in the cold.
Romo in the cold, I mean, he's been okay. I mean, I can't really, nothing really. Dallas doesn't play a ton of really cold games too often, just thinking off the top of my head. So, I mean, yeah, I think this isn't, I don't think Romo is overly terrible. I don't think he's overly great though either. So I think that if you are going to a place like Green Bay where a guy like Aaron Rodgers is always playing, frequently playing in the cold, I think that the advantage definitely goes to Green Bay there. And I do think that, you know, despite the fact that Green Bay's losing Jordy Nelson, I think they're going to be arguably the best team in the NFC this year. So I think the Packers are going to be able to beat Dallas in that one.
And with that loss, you drop to 7-6, which means that you probably need to win out to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yes, things go the way that I'm predicting, then yeah, they're going to have to they're going to have to win out every single game here going forward. But the good news for them is that it's three very winnable games, in my opinion.
Yeah, so it's hosting the Jets on Saturday night. I love those Saturday night games late in the year.
Yep. Right before Christmas. That'll be a good one. I think they can beat the Jets. I mean, Geno should be back by then. I love the Jets defense this year.
Is that good for the Jets?
Yeah, I think that's...
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know if that's good. I mean, whoever the quarterback is, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's really going to be the key. I think it's going to be that
defense. Bryce Petty by then.
Oh, jeez, Bryce Petty. Oh, my goodness. They have Bryce Petty. Oh, gee, watch out. Yeah, I think the defense is really on the Jets. I think that it's going to be incredible this season. I think they've got a really solid defense. So I think that if they manage to shut down the offense, it's going to be one of those weird games where I think, you know, Dallas has a really good offense, but the Jets have a really good defense, and then the Cowboys don't have the greatest defense and the Jets don't have the greatest offense. So it's going to be, I mean, it might come down to who wins that battle between the Jets offense versus the Cowboys defense, which maybe, you know, honestly, with the Jets, the running game is going to be good. They got Chan Gailey there as the offensive coordinator. I think that the Jets might be able to surprise them there, but I'm still going to take the Cowboys in this one.
And then you go to Buffalo.
To Buffalo, another game that's probably going to be in the cold, but I do like I like their chances against the Bills. Again, another team with a really solid defense and a little bit some question marks on offense, but I do like their chances against Buffalo. I think they'll take that game.
So then this would probably be for the playoffs here, hosting the Redskins the last game of the year. What's the Redskins record going into this game?
Oh, man, the Redskins record going into this game. Ooh, man, maybe like 2-13. I don't like Washington's chances this year.
And so Jay Gruden's been fired 6 weeks ago at this point.
Yes. Jay Gruden's long gone. I don't know what Dan Snyder's going to come up with next. But
he may be coaching the team this game, Dan Snyder.
Well, yeah, Dan Snyder is kind of a Jerry Jones wannabe.
He really is. Dan Snyder is just the younger version of Jerry Jones without the Super Bowl wins. I mean, really, honestly, if Jerry Jones didn't luck out and win those Super Bowls early on in his time with Dallas, he would be looked at like Dan Snyder, who just a guy who doesn't really know too much about football, who tries to meddle with everything and ends up overspending on, you know, your Albert Hainsworths of the world and all these other free agents that don't ultimately help the team. And they just, for whatever reason, they just can't win. But maybe I'm being a little too harsh on the Redskins, but I didn't like them last year. I like them even less going into this season. I think that they're going to be a pretty abysmal team going into this game against Dallas. But at the same time, I mean, we've seen it before. We saw last year, the Cowboys, they crumbled against them for whatever reason. So, the Cowboys really have this habit, especially within the past 5 years, of going into the week 17, the final game of the season. And if they win, they make the playoffs, and they lose, they're out, and somehow finding a way to lose. So, it's going to be very nerve-wracking as a fan to watch. I'm going to predict that they win that game. I think Dallas is going to make the playoffs as a wild card team. They're going to finish 10-6, but it's going to be close.
All right, so
is this team a Super Bowl contender? Like, can they actually win it this year?
See, you know what? It's interesting, Akiva. I think that, you know, if everything goes their way, I think the possible range of outcomes for the Cowboys is pretty large. I think that, you know, we could fast forward towards the end of the season, and the Cowboys could have a disastrous season again. They could be 6-10, and I wouldn't be too shocked. And the Cowboys could finish 13-3 or 14-2 or something, and at the same time, I wouldn't be that shocked either. I think that they've got the potential to definitely be a Super Bowl contender. Do I think they're going to be? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But as long as they get into the playoffs, I think that they can definitely make some noise with the guys that they have if the team is healthy going in. And I think that on the back of the offensive line, I think that's really their only hope. If they can't, if there are injuries there or at some of the offensive skill positions, then I think they're going to be in trouble. But I do like Tony Romo to have a really good season. He's a lot more healthy this year or going into this year than he was a year ago. Jason Garrett was recently talking about that. And I think behind the best offensive line he's ever had, I think it's really going to help them. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think that come playoff time, they certainly could be in the Super Bowl discussion for sure.
All right, so 10-6, Cowboys making the playoffs as a wild card, which means that hope you probably get a relatively easy game in week one, but then you have to go to Green Bay or Seattle the next week. So it'll definitely get a lot tougher there. But Jordan, thanks for joining us today. Jordan can be found on Twitter at Jordan Parhar. That's P-A-R-H-A-R. And Jordan, what else exciting is going on in your life right now?
Nothing really. And thank you guys so much for having me on to talk football. I love it. I mean, this has been great. I love this. I love what you guys are doing. The stuff that I'm doing, I host a podcast every week on robbezwebsite.com, just talking about Big Brother. So if you like reality television, check that out. It's called the Big Brother Happy Hour. So you can just follow me on Twitter at Jordan Parhar if you want to check that out. But other than that, nothing really. I'm getting ready to go back to school in about a week or so here, so really excited to get that going.
You're in college?
So I actually just
they call it university in Canada.
Well, yeah, okay. But the school that I'm going to now, it's like a technical institute. It's like that's what they call it. But I'm going there for broadcasting and journalism. I actually just I'm starting a new program. So
is this more of a graduate school?
No, it's just kind of like, it's sort of just like an accelerated,
So it's more like track sort of, than an American college.
Yeah, sort of. This school that I'm going to before I went on Big Brother, that was more like American style school, but this school that I'm going to, yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of a sprint. So, it's going to be fun, but a little bit crazy, but hopefully I'll have some time on Sundays to enjoy the Cowboys and the NFL season and fantasy football and all that jazz.
All right, so Jordan, thanks again for joining us. Akiva, as I mentioned, we at the top jumped ahead to the sixth-ranked Cowboys today because we wanted to have them right after the Eagles. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, our Cowboys and Eagles fans are actually in agreement that the Eagles win the division and the Cowboys take the wild card. Tomorrow we're going to go back to the regular scheduled program. We're going to have the 10th-ranked San Diego Superchargers.
I can't wait.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and have a good night.